Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, we're glad you're here. Glad you made it. You're just in time for Tony Paradiso. And if you've been listening already, well, thank you for that. And as you know, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. Tony is our good friend. He's one of our top management experts in our brain trust, actually, in the world. He is also the author of The Management Mindfield. He's our good friend, Tony. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you.
It's good to have you back.
It's good to be back.
Happy holidays.
It's not a bad day here up in New Hampshire. It's rather mild so far.
Yeah, in the great Granite State. I love New Hampshire. It's a great state.
It is.
Tony, I know one of the things you do is you work with companies who are either trying to take advantage of opportunities or they're trying to deal with some challenges. And I know you've got at least one, if not two, case studies that you'd like to talk to us about in a generic way to give us some ideas. I promise you there will be some people listening to the show who will see themselves. I don't even know what you're going to talk about. I don't even know the specifics of the case stories. But I already know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there are people in the audience who will see themselves in what you're going to say. So what's the first example? Are they trying to solve challenges and stay afloat and resurrect themselves, redeem themselves, or are they looking for opportunities?
Well, in both cases now, both companies are trying to stay afloat, and I'm assisting them with that. But the reason they got into such a predicament is because they were so focused on growing kind of without controls that they basically lost all their working capital.
Growing too fast,
and really without. Understanding all the implications of growth.
The growth is a good thing
if you're paying attention to the details.
The most amazing phenomenon to me in the marketplace is to observe people succeeding themselves right out of business. I mean, I like to tell the little analogy I say is if you walk down the street and you see a guy who looks like he just got hit by a truck, he's got this zombie-like look on his face, and what you find out when you ask him what's wrong is he says, I don't understand. I had more sales than I've ever had. I had more profit than I've ever had. And things were going great, and now I'm out of business. What happened?
Yeah,
that person has succeeded himself right out of business. And there are people right now listening, Tony, who are saying, "What? How could that be?"
Yeah, I think it's typical for entrepreneurs and small business people that any business is good business for one thing. It's kind of like an actor, they never know if they're ever going to work again. Even the most prominent actors in the world,
right,
tell you that, you take a job because you may be your last. I don't know what it is psychologically. So there's this concept that, all business is good business and you just go after it.
Well, we work so hard, Tony. I mean, we work so hard to build a brand. I mean, I did this. I've started from scratch more than once. And you have an idea, you build something, you talk about it, you work on it, you develop it, and all of a sudden somebody says, "Hey, I'll take some of that." And you say, "Wow, this is good." And then somebody else says, "Hey, can I have some of that?" And you say, and so now you've worked so hard to get this to where people want it. And what am I going to do? Say, "I'm sorry, I can't let you have any more. I've sold all I can today." That's totally, contrary to our being.
Yeah. Well, interesting. In the one case, the company was an importer of decorative items from China, and they steadily grew their business. But they started running into trouble. It was twofold. Interesting that they had almost the worst of both worlds. Their customer base consisted of small gift shops, mm-hmm. which would order anything from a couple hundred to maybe $500 worth of merchandise. And then they decided to do business with QVC.
Uh-oh.
Right. QVC is analogous to Walmart. You know, every small business thinks, ooh, if I could only get on the shelves of Walmart. Be careful what you wish for.
That's right.
Because if you're not prepared to do everything precisely correct, doing business with a Walmart or a QVC is going to cost you a huge amount of money.
I have seen the Walmart scenario, and we're using Walmart not only literally but metaphorically.
Right.
I've seen the Walmart scenario. I'm not going to say it always takes the company down, but it creates a lot of unhappiness. And hang on to that thought, Tony. We're going to come back. I've got a Walmart pickle story to tell you, too, right after these messages. Right after this, we get back from these commercials. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Tony Paradiso is our guest. He's the author of The Management Minefield.
Back in a beautician out the wheel. We're going downtown in the middle of the night. We're laughing and I'm joking and we're feeling all right. Oh, I'm back.
Welcome back. It's 17 Till. There's that little band from Texas. ZZ Top. Tony Paradiso is a pretty cool guy, too. He's the author of The Management Minefield. And we're talking about companies that grow themselves right out of business. They succeed themselves right out of business. So, Tony, we were just talking about the company that what is it someone said? Sometimes when God wants to punish us, he answers our prayers.
Yeah, that's true, huh?
So be careful what you pray for. And they prayed for a big customer to come along, and they got it.
They got it.
A former QVC. What happened?
Well, the QVC, and we were using the Walmart analogy, but the thing with these big companies is they have so much control over their vendors that they dictate terms. And so when you do business with a Walmart or a QVC, you have to do it in a very precise way, which means you have to get the goods there very early. They have to be packed properly, labeled properly. And if you don't meet all those expectations...
To the nth degree...
Right, including having the label on the proper side of the box and all these things.
The barcode must be exactly to the millimeter in the right position on the box.
Absolutely, they fine you, right? So they begin.
Or they don't accept your stuff. They send it back.
Or they'll send it back. Right. Yeah. So there was a twofold problem. One, just logistically, they weren't efficient enough to get all the goods to QVC on time, and then the bigger problem was the delay in payment, right? Mm-hmm. So they're shipping goods from China, which they have to pay for. They deliver it to QVC months before the show airs, and then QVC takes their time to pay, and the whole process could take 6 months, and they have mm-hmm. all this cash out. In the meantime, mm-hmm. they're not servicing their core clientele because they're focused on trying to get things resolved with QVC.
So they've run out of money.
And
so they may not be keeping the right products on the they can't afford to keep the right products on the shelf for their other customers because their vendors have put them on COD because they're not paying them because QVC hasn't paid them.
Absolutely. And so and that's how I originally got involved, because one of my businesses is kind of a factoring business, so I got involved to try to help them with some of their cash flow problems.
Factoring being
basically we purchase receivables or invoices. In other words, if you need $10,000 today and have a $10,000 invoice payable 30 days from now, we will buy that invoice from you for a discount, and then we'll collect on the invoice, so you'll have immediate cash.
So maybe you pay them $9,300 or something.
Yeah, let's say $9,300 mm-hmm. on the $10,000, and then we'll collect the $10,000. Now, mm-hmm. it's a good way to solve short-term problems. It's a bad way to fund your business over the long term.
Yeah.
Right. And unfortunately, some companies get into a situation where they have to repeatedly use, you know, that kind of service, but that's a bad sign.
Mm-hmm.
So this company I got involved with to try to help them with cash flow, but it was immediate to me that they had other issues. It was a family business, for one thing, and the husband and wife had different objectives. The husband wanted to stabilize the business, just, you know, focus on profitability, service our core customers. The wife wanted to grow it. And the wife was in charge of marketing and all these things. And so, mm-hmm. you know, she would do a lot of trade shows.
Right.
And trade shows are very expensive endeavors, right? And she'd say, we'd go to a show and we'd get all these orders. And she'd think, well, this is profitable. But really, as the industry started to shift on them, the expense of the trade shows was far more than the revenue they were bringing in, and they never altered their strategy.
It reminded me of the person I know who wrote a book and went on this three-month book tour. And I asked her later, I said, did you make any money on your book? She said, well, I would have if I hadn't gone on the book tour.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so it was an interesting dynamic. You know, when you have a family business and, you know, you're not only bringing in the business dynamics, but you're bringing inherently the family dynamics. And sometimes, even though the husband wanted to do it, had the right ideas and wanted to do things, he couldn't convince the wife. And so they continued to go through this process.
Right.
Interestingly, the first meeting they had with me, of course, now they're in kind of dire straits.
And just like at my house, the wife is in charge.
Absolutely right. In this case, it's no joking. The wife was in charge, and so she basically, because she liked to do the marketing stuff. She liked to go to. So she was letting her personal likes and dislikes kind of affect her business judgment. But the first time I sat down with them, matter of fact, it was a 4-hour meeting. It was more of a therapy session, and I basically told her all the same things that her husband had been telling her for years.
Uh-oh.
And at that point. You know, a third party, it's interesting how sometimes a disinterested, unbiased third party can make the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And she immediately said, I think you're right. I mean, this is obviously what we have to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad that it had to come to that.
Where are they now?
Well, we're working through trying to pare down their debt that they've amassed and get them to the point where they can have a nice, steady business. QVC is out of the picture.
Yep.
We're focusing on their core customer base, which is very large. You know,
small businesses need to understand that everybody is not their prospect.
Right.
You need to focus on just those prospects who really want what you have to sell and who want to pay a premium for the way you deliver that. And you have to deliver it in such a way that makes them be willing to pay a premium. You save them time. Yeah. You customize it somehow. Small businesses who don't get that, Tony, are like your clients. They either are or they're headed toward failure.
Absolutely. So we're looking at both sides. We're trying to get back to providing good customer service to the core. We're looking at expenses to lower them, and then we're trying to pay all the obligations that have been created over the last couple of years.
And we got another one to tell you about right after these messages. Tony Paradiso, ladies and gentlemen. The Management Minefield is his book, wherever books are sold. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and check out our blog while you're there and all the other things that are there, including all the things that Tony Paradiso has deposited with us, all of his wisdom over the last several years. Well, not all of his wisdom. He's still got a little bit left to give us.
I hope so.
Tony, give us your website, please.
It's www.paramarconsulting.com, all one word, P-A-R-A-M-A-R.
Paramarconsulting.com.
Paramarconsulting.com.
Can they find your book there?
They can find my book there, and they can find it on Amazon.com, and they can order it from any bookstore.
Check it out, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, can we do the other one in this last segment? The other company?
Just to wrap up, I want to touch on the whole family thing. If you're involved in a family business and there's a disagreement in strategy between the family, I highly recommend bringing in a third party just to offer an opinion
quickly.
A lot of times a third party is, for some reason, people take the advice from a third party more seriously than they do from a spouse or a family member.
But you got to do it quickly, though, right, Tony?
Yes.
Because if you wait too long, like this other company, it costs you a lot of money.
Yeah, right. If they had done it when we first made when I first met them, they wouldn't have these problems today.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so you need sometimes you need a dispassionate third party to just kind of arbitrate or at least offer an opinion to move the process.
And even people like Tony and me, who do this for a living, have to have people look at our businesses.
Absolutely.
Because we can't see our own stuff, can we?
That's right. I mean, you get
it just doesn't work that way.
Right. Right.
Because we love it. We love our stuff. It's our stuff. It's wonderful. It can't be wrong.
That's right. The old George Carlin thing.
Exactly. That's right. It's my stuff. I got my stuff over here and I got my stuff over there. No, seriously. When I was a consultant, full time, a long time ago, I used to have my clients consult with me about my business.
Yeah.
We would literally turn the desk around and let them consult with me. Go ahead.
The second story is a construction company, and they were in a very specific area of the business, had a specific talent, so they had lots of opportunities to put facades on buildings. Hardworking guys, very successful, growing their business. They decided to get into a new area using a new material. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. You know, you're going to expand. You're looking for new markets,
new products,
logical
yeah.
progression. Now, so they get into this new business, and I think the supplier had something to do with this. Instead of doing one pilot project to make sure that the process worked and the profitability was there, because of the timing of things, some jobs got delayed because of weather. They ended up taking on three jobs and having to do them all simultaneously. Well, when they got involved in the jobs, they realized, this material doesn't work as advertised.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost their shirt. They lost all their working capital. And in the construction business, because of the timing of things, you have to pay your contract, your stubs before you get paid. You can't afford to operate without working capital.
And they may have, I don't know if they're bonded companies, but if they are, they lost their bonding ability.
Yeah, in this case, it wasn't a bonded company, but the bigger problem is they couldn't bid. They can't bid jobs without sufficient capital to pay up the upfront cost. So, a classic mistake. I mean, you obviously want to grow your business. Sometimes you get into different markets, and you know, in this case, different materials. That's not a bad decision, but you never want to take on a huge amount of that new business. You want to see it through from beginning to end to make sure that it works as expected. Does the material function? Can I install it? Is it profitable at the end of the day? Was it worth my effort? If the answers to all those questions are yes, then you begin to look for more and more business in that area. They took on way too much early on without having proved the concept, and it almost, you know, if we hadn't stepped in to provide some working capital, they would have had to shut their doors.
Tony, when I was a little kid, and I'd take too much food out of my plate or order, you know, the jumbo hamburger or whatever, my dad, I never forget this as long as I live, my dad would say, son, I think your eyes are bigger than your stomach.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's what they did. Their eyes got bigger than their stomach, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah, and you can right. The other part of that is you can always go back for more if you're still hungry, right?
That's what he would say.
That's right.
That's what he would say, son. Why don't you get one hamburger, and if you want another one, we'll order another one.
Absolutely, and it's the same philosophy in business.
The wisdom of my blue collar father. Hey, thanks, Tony, for being here. Give us your website, please.
It's www.paramarconsulting.com.
And the book is called The Management Minefield. And as you know, Tony's the best. Thanks, Tony, for being here. Good job.
Thanks, Jim. Always love
Tony Paradis. So, ladies and gentlemen, I love that name. It's the only name I like better than Blasingame. Stand by. Actually, I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. And as you know, seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.